Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. It's a little late. This is Saturday night here at the MUFON conference in Denver, Colorado. I will say I enjoy Denver a little bit more than Lost Wages, Nevada, Lost Souls, Nevada. Maybe I'll talk some more about that later. But anyway, it's good to be here. We had a great flight in Thursday. And, of course, we had to get up 3 o'clock in the morning, Thursday morning, and drive. It's an hour to the airport up St. Louis. And from St. Louis, there's not a hub there, so you can't go anywhere from St. Louis. You have to go somewhere else first. We had to fly up to Minneapolis and change planes and then fly here to Denver. And one thing about it, the air is much drier. And being a St. Louisan or a Missourian most of my life, I can tell you it makes a difference, especially with me. And you know how I am with heat and things like that. But anyway, we actually started setting up Friday, yesterday. Our good friend Olivia, God bless her heart. She's just one of our sweethearts. She helped us out, of course, in Las Vegas last year. She lives in the Las Vegas area, so it seemed like a natural thing. And I was just very, very impressed with her. She, here we have all these DVDs on the table. They're absolutely free. We have them bundled together. Her and Lisa and Michaela have been, they tape them all together, sort of like this here. So it's easy to just grab the whole bundle. And Olivia just doesn't let anybody get by her. And if somebody comes by the table, I noticed this in Las Vegas, and we didn't have, I don't think, near the success in Las Vegas setting up the videos and everything like that or getting them out as we did here. Because last year in Las Vegas, setting up the video table and setting up the table and everything like that, there just wasn't a lot of people here, wasn't a lot of things going on. And so, I did get an opportunity. I remember a man I witnessed to last year, and he said he was a believer in Christ, but he had some abduction things going on. And I really wanted to just visit with this guy. And unfortunately, didn't get the opportunity. He didn't seek me out after that, so more than likely just didn't want to, seems like. But anyway, this year it's different. And from the moment we began to set up, Olivia, her and her husband and granddaughter, Gia, hi Gia, and Mick, appreciate you, because he helped load all the boxes and everything like that. Well, she has a sister that lives in this area. So they flew in and are staying with her sister, and we drove out there yesterday morning, picked her up, and Mick's a great guy. I love him. He brought all the boxes out and loaded everything up for us, and we came back here, started setting everything up. I went up to the room, brought some things down, and right away, people are coming by the table, even with people just setting up, and it does seem that there are more vendors here this year than there was last year. And I think that makes a difference. So already Friday, really before the speakers start or anything like that, there's a lot of traffic coming by here. And of course, people asking questions. Okay, what is this? And, we're giving them DVDs and I just say to them, look, you can't go wrong. Even if you don't watch them, you've got cup holders. Okay. Put them on your, living room, coffee table, whatever, put your coffee cup on it so you don't ruin your furniture. But people were taking the DVDs, and then they would ask Olivia or my wife a question, and they would try to answer. And as soon as I'd walk up, here's Pastor Mike, talk to him. And I had some very, very, very good conversations with people yesterday, just getting set up. And it was busier doing that yesterday than it was last year in Las Vegas. I didn't hardly do that at all. this year is different altogether. And, I would say probably more people positive about the subject that we're dealing with, of course, is aliens, UFOs, paranormal things like that. And does the Bible have any answers to that? Sort of give some credit, Eric Von Daniken did help out with that way back in the late 60s when he wrote Chariots of the Gods, because he focused primarily upon Ezekiel 1. And Eric Von Daniken being, he said he grew up Roman Catholic, went to Catholic school, said he believed in God. But when he was reading in Ezekiel 1 about God's chariot, he didn't believe it. He said, if he's God, why does he need a chariot? And, I'm not sure that I know 100% how to answer that, other than God certainly is a creative God. And the Bible says that he is a wonder. He is glorious in his appearance. And, even in this world, any kind of head of state, the president doesn't drive around in a Yugo or a Volkswagen. When the president of the United States goes anywhere, there's this big parade, there's cars and flags and, this amazing car, and it's that way even with the Pope, with the Pope Mobile and all that stuff. Throughout history, history is full of kings who, when they came riding in to some town or city that they had conquered, or even their own, riding into Rome when the Caesars came into Rome, it was a very big, pompous celebration. And I believe that is part of the nature of God. Of course, the Bible says the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. And so certainly we know that God uses them. We know he doesn't need them. But he doesn't need us here on this earth to do the work we're doing. But he chooses to use us. His creation, this earth, the people in this earth, the creatures in this earth, space, deep space, the planets in our own solar system, our sun, everything is beautiful that God created. Then we get, the Bible's description of heaven, and I think it's probably way more glorious than we can even possibly imagine. So that part is what I tell people about what I believe about what the Bible says about God, is that, here's God's chariot, okay? And it's a chariot of living creatures. Think of Elon Musk's artificial intelligence car 1,000 years from now on steroids. And then you're not even close to God's chariot. It is powered by living creatures. These living creatures, have a spirit in them. The Bible calls them the cherubim. They are humanoid in appearance. They have four faces. And then the wheels. And that's what Von Daniken was. It's still late, but you know how some people are. So, anyways, they're obviously happy about something, but I don't think it's UFOs. But anyway, it reminds me of an airplane ride to Las Vegas years ago when I was doing something for the Prophecy Club. There were a couple of gals at 9 o'clock in the morning going from St. Louis to Las, or from, I think we were in Texas, to Las Vegas. And they were drinking the whole time, and they were already dancing in the seats and partying before they ever got to Vegas. Oh my God. Anyway, so back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel Von Daniken wrote about the wheels, and he focused on that, and he believed that that was part of a UFO system, and that the rider of this UFO was some sort of advanced alien species. He even went so far as to, in Genesis 1, when the Bible says, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Well, of course, that's not God, because it says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Well, those of us who know the Bible and know the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. That's not a mystery to us. Let us, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, make man in our image after our likeness three times. So that's where von Daniken goes wrong. And that's where I believe he loses his faith. So one of the reasons why I do what I do and why I'm focusing on this from time to time is to put forth the idea that we do not have to lose our religion. We do not have to drop our faith. We don't have to walk away from what we believe to be true, which is the Holy Bible, King James. We don't have to leave that because the Bible then explains to us who believe it what's going on. There's a verse here, it's been on my mind since I've been here. It's in Proverbs 28. Verse 2, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. You know where I'm going to go with that. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. And if you just look at civics, the civics of America, that is the you know, the government, the civil state of the Union, when America is a honorable people, when we are the good guys, when we do the right thing, when we outlaw abortion, when we do things that are right and pleasing as far as God's law is concerned. It doesn't mean everybody in America is going to heaven, but it certainly is a God blesses that state. That's what he says. But then there's always two interpretations of this. For the transgression of the land, many are the princes thereof. So what do we have now? We have a bloated bureaucracy, and we have it not just in the federal government, but we have it everywhere. State government, local government. You know, it used to be a town mayor, and he ran the city. He was the administrator of the city. Nowadays, it's the thing to have the city mayor. He's the elected official. But then they hire a city administrator, someone who is a non-elected official, not answerable to the people, a bureaucrat, a prince, to run the affairs of the city. So what's the mayor doing? Okay, shaking hands, trying to get reelected or whatever, stealing money or whatever. So we have that. But then for the transgressions of land, many are the princes thereof, principalities, spirits. And so you could look at it like this, a righteous nation. Okay? It will be ruled by the word of God in men's hearts. And those men, those people don't need to be monitored. They don't need to have cameras everywhere watching. They don't need to be censored on YouTube. They don't need any of that. Okay? And they definitely don't need a lot of evil, cruel authority over them, and God won't do it to them. However, when a land transgresses greatly, and I took some pictures, I may post them. You know, walking up down the streets here downtown Colorado, Denver, Colorado. The effects of drugs. Then, of course, this is a legal recreational marijuana state. There's a guy sitting out on the street, and he's selling bud. Got a big thing, he's got bud in there, and he's selling it, I don't know. But, you know, those places pop up everywhere, and they are huge money makers. And so think of the princes then, not just the spirits that are here now, the ones that are coming. And, you know, a couple conversations I had with some people yesterday, today, even just a few minutes ago, I'm setting up. There's a man, he's one of the vendors, and I talked to him. He asked me, you know, about our table, so I told him a little bit about it. And as part of that, I don't remember exactly how the subject came up, but I said, you know, there's God, there's the devil, there's good, there's bad. And I said, you know, men are sinners. And he said, I don't believe everybody. I went, well, let me give you a verse. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. But he said, you know, my mom, she's not a sinner. I'm not a sinner. So I said, you're going to tell me now that you have never lied before. He said, no, I don't lie. I don't have to. And he said, I know you don't believe that. I said, well, I said, then I asked him, I said, okay, you ever looked at Playboy? He said, well, yeah. I said, it's a sin. It's the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet, which means lust. And he said, I didn't say I lusted. I said, look at it. And I said, now, come on, you're just playing word games. You're hiding, okay? He's a sinner. So, and I said, so am I. And he just kind of walked away from that. And I said, hey, I love you anyway. You know, God bless you. I had a conversation with a woman. It was one of those times I walked up to the table. The girls, ladies were trying to talk to her. And I would guess more than likely, you know, a very masculine lesbian. I may be wrong on that, but that was the sense that I got from her appearance and her attitude and the spirit. And she would ask me questions. Well, I'm a teacher. When you ask a teacher a question, the teacher can give you the answer. The answer is no, or the answer is a chariot, or the answer is God. But in order for them to rationally accept that answer, you teach going into that. And after a while, she just stopped me. And she said, I'm done listening to you. And I said, well, I said, you asked me a question. And she said, yeah, and you can't give me a straight answer. You have to give me all this stuff along with it. I said, well, I'm a teacher. That's what I do. And she said, yeah, but I was here for a conversation. You don't want to have a conversation. You just want to talk. You want me to be quiet and listen to you and buy into your stuff. And she became very aggressive in her tone. And I said, ma'am, and maybe the word ma'am hit her the wrong way. You know how it is now. And I said, I believe in truths. I believe there's one truth. There's one genuine $100 bill. That's the thing I've been using this week. I don't know where it came from. I said, people make fake $100 bills, and why do they do it? So they can make free money and, you know, not have to earn it, not do anything with it, and whatever. And I said, there's a lot of fake religions, and why are they? They're man-made, and they're in it because people love money or they love power, they love whatever that they get out of it. And I said, but there's one true $100 bill. She even argued that one. But I said, there is one true $100 bill in this country, and I said, there is one truth in this world, and that truth is the Word of God, the Bible. And she commented something like, I didn't have any love. I didn't care about people. So I had my phone in my hand, and I showed her a picture of some of the people in Turkana. She said, well, sounds like you have a captive audience, and walked off. And you just pray for people like that. And they're here. And like I said, there is, you know, there are people here. There's a guy right next to us who was selling some pretty good corn chips. They're flavored, and they're pretty dense. I like them. I've been buying them. The ladies have been eating them. And he is very friendly guy. And he's been listening to me talk. He said, I like some of the things you're saying. He said, you do that well. And, you know, so there's seed being planted. It's funny because he calls his chips Mother Chip. It's obviously based on the UFO idea of mothership. And he's got a painting here at his booth. I may show you a picture of it that he painted himself. He's a very gifted artist, it looks like. But it's a woman with a third eye. And that means that she has received occult knowledge. That's his background. That's what he knows. Okay, and in order to change that, it takes time. You plant the seed and let God do it. And that's what we're doing here. Did get the opportunity to do what I thought was a very good interview. a man who has a blog site, podcast site. I think he streamed it to Facebook Live. Right now, I can't for the life of me. Hang on a second. I do have it. I know I can find it. I don't know that it is posted yet on Facebook, but the Facebook page is Curious Realm. Curious Realm. And his website, of course, is curiousrealm.com. And we had a 30-minute interview. It was audio and video. And he let me say what I wanted to say. And he was very enjoyable to speak to. And he had a Catholic background, so he knew some of the things I was saying, you know, and believed some of the things I was saying. But he just let me talk. He let me say what I wanted to say. He let me talk about the gospel. Let me talk about God and angels and devils and, you know, my belief that these things are evil. They're not nice people. An interesting thing today, as I came to the table, right over here next to me, I looked over there and there's a woman that I recognized from all the things and research in UFOs. Her name is Paola Harris, P-A-O-L-A Harris. Paola is the Italian spelling. She is Italian, but she is American. She is fluent in Italian. She does a lot of writing articles for UFO magazines and things like that in Italy, does a lot of teaching in Italy. Of course, she was very close with Colonel Philip Corso, who post-World War II was assigned to Italy in counterintelligence as a colonel. And, of course, he was fluent in Italian. And they hooked up later on in life, and they actually wrote a book together. I have a copy of it. I think it's free. But it's called A New World, and it's based upon something that Colonel Corso, when he was in the States, he was at a air base somewhere in the Southwest, and the radar showed that a bogey landed on base in a canyon, and so Corso got a Jeep and drove out there, and sure enough, there was a saucer. According to him, there was a saucer out there, and three little gray aliens there, and of course, they spoke in a language that no one knows. Then they began to speak telepathically to Corso. And Colonel Corso said, you know, what do you want? And the alien said, turn your radar off so we can leave. And that apparently was, you know, kind of bolstered the idea about the Roswell crash. Was that it was the advanced radar systems that they had that crashed those. There was three ships involved in the Roswell incident, not just one. One was actually recovered in Corona, Mexico. Another one was found about 2-3 years later. But it was the radar that they believed did it. And here's this alien saying, turn your radar off so we can leave. Corso, Colonel Corso, military man all of his life, says, okay, what's in it for me? And according to Corso, the alien said to him telepathically, a new world, if you can have it. And that's the book that he wrote, A New World. And that phrase meant to him, we'll bring you a new world if you'll receive it. And so it was, to me, that then alters the meaning of Anno et Coeptis Novus Ordo Seclorum. He favors the undertaking of a new world order. How do you make a new world? Okay? The makers of this new world, not from here. They're not. They are from Hebrews 1 tells us this. Another verse in Hebrews tells us this. Double witness. talks about Christ, by whom God made the worlds. Of course, I will be talking more on that. There is one more thing I'll share with you about this. And by the way, I got a little note here. There's a young man named Chris. He's been following our ministry for some time. He lives in the area, and he came. He said, "This is my birthday present." He said, "I just wanted to." He had called me a while back, said he lived in the area and wanted to know if we needed any help. I said, "I think we got everything covered, but you know, you're welcome to come." And so he came, and you know, I'm getting to know him a little bit, and we've had some good conversations. He's listened to a lot of things I've said over the years, and so on. And he is, I put him in charge of a pretty big task, not knowing him. But I get here, and my camera that I record Watchmen on busted. And I went, well, there went my plans. And I'm just going, I don't know where my camera is. And I don't know, all day long, I was just, you know, fretting about it. And I asked him, I said, is there a place around somewhere to buy a camera? He said, I don't know, but he said, but I could find out for you. And I guess I was just following the Lord. And I reeled out a handful of cash, my own personal money, that I'd saved up for our vacation this week. I said, do you think, and I told him what I needed, showed him what I needed, and I said, do you think you can get me a camera? And he said, yeah, I'll do that for you. So off this guy that I just know a day walks off. And God bless him. Came back with a camera, my change, a receipt. I'm using it now. It's pretty much everything I asked for. And that's God's people, okay? And that's why I love them. So, you know, kudos to Chris. I appreciate you, buddy. And, you know, he's been sitting in on some of the sessions, listening to some of the speakers and so on. And the first speaker today was the niece of Betty and Barney Hill. Now, if you don't know who that is, the first publicly known, it wasn't the first abduction, but it was the first scientifically investigated. It was reported to Blue Book. It was leaked out, and a newspaper wrote about it. Betty and Barney Hill were a couple. They lived in New Hampshire, and they, back in the 60s, they were a mixed-race couple, which, you know, in New England, you could do that, but not in a lot of other places in the country. It just wasn't done. But anyway, they were a mixed-race couple. And one of my early things in UFOs was back when I was a child, and I can remember this movie coming in called, I think it was called UFO Incident, and it was with James Earl Jones. Darth Vader, right? James Earl Jones is playing Barney Hill. And they had an experience. Barney was he didn't believe in UFOs. However, and I've always believed this, that with abductions, there's almost always a family relationship. There's somebody else in the family that has some sort of involvement with UFOs. And sure enough, Betty's sister had been seeing UFOs for years, going back into the 50s. Well, on their way back from a trip from Niagara Falls, and the details are out there, you can look it up, they saw this ship flying. And Betty's getting excited. She believes in this. But Barney says, no, absolutely not. Well, bottom line is they were abducted, and they had 2.5 hours missing time. I'm not going to give all the story, but there was a piece of information that Barney Hill would never let released. He didn't want it talked about. And Betty's niece is the one who I'd heard this from. I watched one of her talks, one of her interviews, I guess. And she said that Barney was a church-going man, a Christian man, she called him, and said that he did not want anybody to know this. But after he died, she began to tell people that while on board the craft, of course, with Betty Hill, they extracted eggs from Barney Hill. They extracted seed. He never wanted that out. And she spoke today, and I listened to her and made some notes for a scientifically investigated report of UFO abduction. Barney got out of his car, and he's got binoculars in his hand, and he is facing this. He said he described it like a brightly lit pancake, okay, thin, but it had windows in it. When he pulls his binoculars up, he sees beings inside these windows, humanoid creatures. And, of course, he is saying out loud, "This can't be, this can't be, this can't be. I don't believe this, I don't believe this, I don't believe this." But there it is. And he got so scared at one point that he jerked the binoculars off his face and broke the straps. What happened? But anyway, I wanted to know. It was curious to me. Because I mentioned to you here a while back, I talked to a lady who, down in Arkansas, who remembers having experiences with UFOs and these creatures, these big-eyed creatures, she said. And at one point, one of them shooting some sort of ray at her or a blue light or something like that, and it hit her in the hip. And she doesn't like to remember these things. Obviously, she's not been seeing a hypnotist and getting all these regressions done, everything like that. She says, "I just don't want that to be part of who I am." But she was sharing things that she did remember with me, and I appreciated that. But she said that those things went on from her childhood all the way on until she's 20 years old. She's 20 years old. She accepts Christ as her Savior, and she gets involved in the church and starts reading the Bible, and has kind of a rough life after that, some backsliding. We've all been there, but God brought her back. She's in a good gospel Bible, King James Church, and she was just very honest with me. So I knew that once she gave her life to the Lord, those things stopped. Psalm 91, I believe that she was hiding herself under God's protection, and they couldn't touch her. But here's Barney Hill, and the story is he's a Christian. So after her talk, I went to her table, and I've got a couple of her books here. I was going to ask her some questions about. I figured, well, I'll buy some of the books. This one in particular is interesting. It's written by her name. This is Kathleen Martin. And she's Betty Hill's niece. And she writes this book, Forbidden Knowledge, Personal Journey from Alien Abduction to Spiritual Transformation. And I know what that is. So in the process of buying the books, I said, can I ask you, couple questions about Barney, something that you had said, I heard you say in an interview, that Barney was a church-going man, something like that. I said, was that true? And she said, yes, him and Betty, they attended church regularly. I said, what kind of church was it? Episcopalian, or whatever. She said, a Unitarian church. Okay, all right. And apparently something nearby is on fire, and I hope it's not us. But here's the Wikipedia, if you don't know what Unitarian is, okay? It is the fruit of liberal Christianity. It's a liberal religion characterized by, quote, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Unitarian Universalists assert no creed, but instead are unified by their shared search for spiritual growth, guided by a dynamic, quote, living tradition. Currently, these traditions are summarized by the six sources and seven principles of Unitarian Universalism. Six sources and seven principles. How many is that? 13. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the nations of the earth. That's the spirit. A spirit that you have a church, they don't know who God is. Okay? That's her church. And the article says these documents are always, quote, living, meaning always open for revisiting and reworking. Like Bible translations now. Unitarian congregants include many atheists, agnostics, and theists, and have churches, fellowships, congregations, societies around the world. The roots of Unitarianism are Protestant liberal Christianity, specifically Unitarianism and Universalism. Meaning, and it does say this, that they derive insight from all major world religions. That was my answer. Okay. I'm not the judge. But he was part of a church that itself has no salvation. It has no born again. There is no incorruptible seed like we have in the Bible. There's no final truth. There's only ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So I asked her, the next question I asked is, I said, did that in any way alter his faith? Did he stop going to church after that? And she said, no, actually not. She said that Barney was looking at these beings through the binoculars. He was saying, God help me, God help me, God help me. God, if you're out there, God help me, God help me. Okay. And he said he continued, she said he continued to go to the Unitarian Church and actually said that he was like a delegate representative of the Unitarian Church to the United Nations. Okay. So you can take that for whatever it's worth. And I said, and she said, actually, one time while he was under hypnosis, the issue came up, and Barney apparently said that he wishes now he would have stayed on the ship and gone with the aliens because he thought that he would be able to then prove to everybody that there was a God. And so there is always, you cannot, and MUFON, I like MUFON and the conference because these are people that their primary interest is in the investigation of reports of UFOs in the United States of America. Okay, that's their primary function. And before they do anything else here, they have a private meeting with all of their members who are field representatives who are commissioned to go out when a report comes in and investigate the report. Show us the video or the picture. Did they land anywhere? You know, take sample, whatever they need to do. Scientific. Okay, and I appreciate that. But you will never be able to separate the spiritual aspect of this from the UFO/alien phenomenon. It's forever there. I mentioned Paula Harris, who she's on the opposite side of the street from where we are. It's Bible-believing Christians. Because she described an experience one time, Mount Shasta. She was with a bunch of people who are spiritual people, And they're all out there meditating and camping next to the woods, you know, out in the wilderness. We know what Isaiah 34 and Isaiah 13 says about the wilderness and what's out there. You know, the dragons, the owls, the satyrs. And Paul has said that something that was referred to as a Shendra, spelled X-E-N-D-R-A, which is sort of like a portal, showed up at the edge of the forest. And they're looking at this. She's there, a bunch of other people there. And this fog and a mist appears, and this 10, 12 foot tall white. That's an angel from the scriptures, right out of the Bible, shows up there. And obviously he's speaking the language nobody understands. And she has this experience with looking into the eyes of this thing, and so on and so on. I'm not sure if she's telling everything, but she has this religious encounter. Not a scientific one, not a political protocoled meeting of two people from a different country. She is having a religious experience with this devil. And that's why we're here. We're here to give people the truth, whether they accept it or not. All I do is ask them, watch one video. Okay? You can probably throw the rest of them away after that. But I'm asking you to watch one of them. Go to the website, because we have new ones, ufopastor.com, and find out what the Bible says. And then you decide, because that's what God gave us, choice. You decide whose side you're going to follow. If I'm not here, these people with all these other things out here, maintain your biofield, your cause. Yeah, all this other stuff. If I'm not here, then they don't get a choice. It's just a choice of other bad religious ideas, bad spirits. So now they're getting a choice. Tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's that simple. So continue to pray for us. My goal is to try to record again something tomorrow evening, and just pray that it all works out, and pray for us while we're here. Pray for our family back home, our church back home. Pastor James Collins, I'm excited, will be in the pulpit for me. By the time this video comes out, it will be probably Sunday morning. From Southwest Radio, he is the staff evangelist, and I got in touch with him Wednesday. I said, I know this is late, but I need a preacher for Sunday, because all the other connections, they just fell apart. And he said, I'd love to. And I went, oh, praise the Lord, because I really have, he and I have grown to love each other. He's a good King James man, loves the Lord, loves the Bible. And so he'll be filling my pulpit tomorrow morning, and I appreciate him. Appreciate all the folks back at Bethel, appreciate you folks online. It's like Chris here, Olivia. We couldn't do this without people's help. I've got some feeding pictures to send you. The service of Elder Etole in Turkana, Kenya, the 100-year-old elder who prays for our church and me every day. We gave him his certificate. Honorary eldership of Bethel Church, and it's beautiful. The video was absolutely beautiful. Love this man. Can't wait to meet him here, there, or in the air. All right? This Pastor Mike, God bless you. You're the reason why we do what we do. You're the reason these people here are the reason. These are lost souls, okay? And they need to be saved. I met a few people who say they're Christian. We had good conversations. I appreciate that. There are lost people here. This is the seed that can save them, and it's the subject they're interested in. So pray for all of these that go out. All right? God bless you. We'll see you.